You know, I think about another instance where I thought that this athlete's his height lent him to be more of a distance guy to me, and that's what I thought at first until I started seeing his times when he was sprinting.
Yeah.
And of course we think of guys like Bolt who
6'5".
He changed the rules. Height. So what happened? I mean, how did this transition happen?
That's crazy. I was a part of that transition. I'm 5'7". And when I was running track professionally, everybody was like, oh, 5'7", 5'8", because Maurice Green was like 5'8", 5'9". Yep. He's the fastest man, still has a 60-meter world record. So that was the build you wanted. And then Gatlin came. He was 6'2". And then Bolt came.
Yeah.
He was 6'5". You know, Gatlin's back, 6'2". But point being is that we found out that there is a way to change your levers. Think of a clock, you know, or just think about leverage in general. Mm-hmm. A long lever is slow, but it's powerful. A short lever is weak, but it's fast. So when you touch the ground, when you're making contact, you want long, powerful lever, right? But when you're getting off that ground so you can get back on, you need a short lever. Right. That's why if you notice the taller sprinters that are successful at it, like Bolt, he makes his arms super tiny on the way up, and he elongates them on the way down. Same with his legs. Super tiny legs on the way up. He tightens them. He collapses the knee. Elongates, opens that long lever on the way down. So an athlete with a longer body definitely has a larger range of races that they can compete in. They just have a better frame. And, you know, the jury's still out on that, but Tori Bowie, women's 100-meter champion, look at her build. Cheetah, not lion, long, lean. Bolt, Gatlin, Kimberlyn Duncan a few years back at LSU, Allison Felix, Aries Merritt, world record holder over the hurdles. Yep. Tell me one guy in that's buff, that's a big, stocky guy. So it amazes me how many athletes that want speed and explosion focus 50 to 60% of their training programs on weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
They're not – it's return on investment. You can put 13 hours into the weight room and maybe get better by 10%.
Yeah.
Or can you do something else, which I'm not going to say. Plyometrics. Can you do something else that – if you do for that same amount of time, you'll get a bigger return on your investment. Mm-hmm. Do weights work? Yes. Do I think they're going the way of the dinosaur? Yes. Mm-hmm. You look at how MMA guys like McGregor, you look at how these guys train. They're throwing bags, slamming ropes, body weight, natural, functional strength.
Wow. So, again, I'm with Brent Davis, this renowned track athlete, track trainer, and sports scientist. Tell us about your collegiate background. I know you studied some kinesiology and things like that.
So, born and raised in Vegas, and went to school in Mojave. This is Vegas, right? This is Vegas. Listening to this.
Oh, they know Mojave.
If you know Mojave, I went to school in Mojave, man. I'm from North Las Vegas. Blah blah blah. You heard the story 1,000 times over. I was a standout in high school. Yeah. I was actually better. This is why cross training to me really hits home, because I was a football athlete.
Yeah.
I was much better at football than I was track and field. Didn't think I would. Track and field was just something I did in the offseason to stay fast and shape.
Exactly, and that's football. What a lot of us learned, too.
A lot of us learned that, mm-hmm. and that's what I did. However, I was a kid, so I was dumber than I am now. I'm still dumb, but I was dumber then. And my birthday's in September, so yeah. I graduated when I was 17, so I was young. So I wouldn't even go to practice on a Monday, man.
Yeah.
Football, I was changing plays. Long story short, I went to school my senior year something like 76 days. 76 days I went to school.
Yeah.
So didn't know what an SAT was. Didn't know what an ACT was. I graduated high school. I'm sitting at home. Didn't know what I was going to do in my future. I had letters. Schools wanted me, but these were all schools that I was not qualified to go to. Like, I didn't have a high school coach that told me, take your clearinghouse. You know, go take your ACT. None of those things. Yeah. So I'm sitting at home. I get a call on the phone. This is 2001. I get a call on the phone by a man by the name of Al Hobson. He's a track coach out in Kansas City, Kansas Community College. And at the time, Maurice Green was the world's fastest man, world record holder, blah, blah, blah. He was Bolt at that time. Al Hobson was his coach. Maurice Green was in Kansas. That's where he's from. So he says, Maurice Green, Kansas City. I had no other offers. I had nothing else to do. He's like, yo, you want a scholarship? Come out here and run. I'm like, yeah, next day, I'm on a plane, August 6th. I remember like yesterday, August 6th, I'm in Kansas City, and changed my life, man. So that my sports education everything I hearken back, and I give him in Kansas City so much of the credit, man. Like, my education there, on the track, off the track, the things that I learned in Kansas, invaluable. Like I said earlier, that man taught me how to love track and field. Yeah. And it gave me, I made that choice. Like, it took me a long time to realize that was the choice I made. But when I met Al Hobson, I made the choice that I'm going to train sprinters. Because he saved my life, man. That guy changed my life with track and field.
And, of course, we've kind of had this conversation on cross sports training more than anything. But what in general did you take and have you continued to take from track and field, just in terms of life lessons and lessons in athletics?
Did I ever, when I was coaching you in high school, did I ever tell you guys the story of the frog and the scorpion?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. I'll tell it. It's fast. It's okay. I won't get to it. I don't know. How long we got, man?
We got as much time as you need.
All right. So I take from track and field every day. Mm-hmm. I can't even watch Game of Thrones without seeing how it relates to track and field on how I can use it. I'm telling you. When that, hey, spoiler alert, when my man jumped off that boat, it broke my heart. Anyway, but scorpion and the frog, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this scorpion. Every day he's in the desert. He roams around this desert just killing. This is what the scorpion does. It's his nature. He's a scorpion. He hunts. He's killing crickets, killing frogs. Whatever the scorpion can kill, he kills. Seasons start to change. Starts to get cold. All the scorpion's food migrate to the other side of this pond. Scorpions can't swim. So he's panicking. This scorpion's panicking. Like, what am I going to do? All my food is leaving. There's a frog sitting at the edge of the pond. And the scorpion's like, I'm going to see if I can talk this dude into swimming me across this pond. So he walks up to the frog and he's like, hey, frog, what's up, man? I'm a scorpion. You see me, you know, I do my thing, whoop-de-whoop. Frog's like, oh, yeah, I seen you. You do your thing. You killed one of my cousins. Like, I'm not rocking with you, frog, yeah, or scorpion. But scorpion says, listen, I need to get on the other side of this pond or else I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Please put me on your back and swim me across. I cannot swim. Frog says, that's stupid. You're going to sting me the moment I put you on my back. Scorpion goes, that's stupid. I wouldn't do that. If I do that, I'm going to drown. I can't swim. Frog's like, still hesitant. But okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take a chance on this scorpion. Puts the scorpion on his back. Starts swimming. When he's in the shallow part of the water, he's terrified because he's like, this dude might pop me and then bring me out of the water. And he has food now. He has another plan. So he's nervous, but he's still swimming fast to get to the deepest part. When he gets to the middle of that pond, the absolute deepest part of that pond, scorpion stinger comes across the top. Bang! Pops the frog right in the head. As that venom goes through that frog's body, and he gets paralyzed and he starts to sink and go underneath that pond, he asks that scorpion one question. Why? Why did you do that? And the scorpion replied to him, it's in my nature. This is what I am. And I love that story so much because I teach my athletes something that I live by. It is easy to be a scorpion when you're on land and everything's going good for you. It's easy to be that athlete. It's easy to be Conor McGregor when you're the best in the world. It's easy to be Floyd Mayweather when you're the best in the world, when you have all that money and you can train, go to practice, and you got the best trainers, air conditioning. It's easy to be Justin Gatlin when you win. What did you do in those 10 years between when you're getting booed and you're losing and you have to sleep in your car as an athlete, or you have to catch the bus to practice, or ride five or walk 5 miles both ways with one of your athletes, when you have to sell your own personal car to get an athlete to a meet? Can you be a scorpion on those days? Can you do what you need to do? So that lesson, I take that from track and field every day. I get just as much joy from training kids as I do when I see my guys at the Olympics. Yeah. When Jermaine broke that world record, it felt no different than when Madison Aldred won state for me.
Yeah.
True story. That's what I take away from the sport. Be the scorpion. Do what you're supposed to do. Even in the face of certain death, that scorpion stung that frog. You're supposed to do it in the face of the club. Or drugs or something illegal or not doing your homework. That's all I'm asking. If that scorpion can sting that frog in the face of certain death, can you not eat that? Can you go to bed? Can you stay out of the club? If your answer is no, if you struggle with those things, you'll never be great. Because scorpions kill. Not just when it's convenient.
ladies and gentlemen, and other people, of course, you've heard from the man himself, that Bryn Davis.
Triple Crown Athletics.
Bryn Davis, renowned track athlete and trainer. Thank you for coming in and talking to me about Mayweather-McGregor cross training. Keeping these athletes on their game. There are a lot of young athletes up and coming out of this area, and they need, you know, they need motivation and somebody like you.
Yeah. Hey, Three Crown Athletics on Instagram. I'm most active there, and that's what I do, man. I try to especially Vegas. I'm born and raised here. I want to inspire that next generation of athletes.
Thank you very much for joining me, Bryn.